overcome the evil that is in the world. That is the objective. That is what the Christian life is all about. And we have to understand that there's some rudiments. And last week I shared with you a personal issue that was going on. And I have to tell you, after we left church, I did go to the police. My wife didn't want me to. But there was a theft of personal belongings, and I wanted it on record. And we went home, and my mother-in-law said to me, "Where were you?" Because I was like a couple hours late. And I said, "I went to the police," and I thought she was going to have a conniption. She's all this and all that other stuff. And I just told her, I said, "You know what? You may find it's fine that your grandson can steal everything for his addiction, but I don't find it that's okay. And that the longer he's here, things are going to happen again, and I need to remove myself and my possessions and everything from here." And of course, she was real upset with me and stuff, and I said, "I'm not telling you to make a choice. I'm telling you what I'm going to do." Well, less than an hour later, we had received our keys. And for those who weren't here last week, my nephew stole a set of keys to my vehicle and had posthumously used it without a license, without insurance, without permission. And remember, I gave you three tools that I was using at the time. And those three tools were what? Rejoice. Rejoice in our suffering. Rejoice in our suffering. That's one. Rejoice in our suffering. Patient in our affliction.
Faithful in prayer.
And one other. Maintaining our zeal for God. Okay? Maintaining our zeal. And how many times we have things done to us that knocks us for a loop and we forget about God. And I said to you, I felt like, you know, you ever see that cartoon Tom and Jerry where you had the devil cat on one side and the angel cat on the other? Well, I'll tell you what, that was going on with me. And I'm sure probably none of you guys, because you guys are all so super spiritual, that you know, it doesn't happen to you. But I told him, I said, you know, one side of me, I wanted to pull his head off his shoulders and see what was ticking in there, if there was anything going on inside his brain. And the other part of me was, and this is the honest truth, I was afraid to do the wrong thing because I did not want to bring dishonor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think if I had given into my emotions, I would have done that. I would have ruined 20 years of walking with the Lord in 5 minutes. But praise be to God, I didn't. And because of that, He gave the keys back. But that's not the end of the story. You see, because when He gave the keys back, there was this half-hearted attempt of saying He was sorry. And all of us know, at least you should know, that the Christian doesn't operate by, "I'm sorry." How do we operate? And what is repentance? Excuse me?
To agree with God.
Right. Right.
And receive them.
That's right. Turn 180 degrees around. It's a change of minds, agreeing with God. Because God's always right, so you might as well agree with Him. You know, so, and if He says you've done wrong, and you sit there and say you didn't, you did. So, it's easier to just say, "Yeah, I did it." Turn around from it. Forsake it. And move back in there. So, repentance. Well, the neat thing was, Monday night, Irene and I are horsing around after dinner a little bit, and we're getting ready to go downstairs to the pad. And my nephew comes in and he says, can I talk to you? So, I mean, he had eyes of desperation. And I'm like joking around, like, "Yeah, okay, you know, because I'm past this thing, because I'm already thinking of my next step." And he sat down and he says, "I could not sleep at all last night, Sunday night into Monday morning." I said, "Good. Good." He goes, "No, you don't understand." I said, "I understand completely, bud." He said, "I couldn't. I have all these feelings and emotions coming out." And And you start welling up in tears and stuff. Well, Jesse tries to do that too. And you get to know me, tears don't sway me either. But he was like moved in this thing. He says, I know I would have gotten a tongue lashing normally and, you know, it wouldn't have mattered to me. He says, I would have taken it and just like, no big deal, off. He says, but this was different. He says, you didn't give me a tongue lashing. You told me, but it's bugged me. He says, I couldn't sleep. No matter how much I tried to go to sleep, I knew that this wasn't over. I realized that I'm paying a price, and that price is very costly. He says, and I realized that because you didn't want to be around me, and you guys have done so much for me, that I was killing the relationship in there, and I don't want to be like this anymore. I said, good. Good. And we talked a little bit. I gave him a Bible to read. Now, I'm not saying that's the end of the story, but what I'm saying is, if I had given in to my fleshly desire, I would not have had the opportunity to be a witness to my nephew. I would not have been able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're about. You know, this is a reality to me. I don't know if it is for you, but the reality to me is to live my life in such a way that it is well-pleasing unto God, so that I may testify of His grace and His mercy into my life. And because of it, a mutual dentist friend of ours began to ask me, the Wednesday I had to go to a dentist, began to ask me about my fellowship and where we were going and all this, and I invited her out. They had gone from the gamut of Scientology to Jehovah's Witnesses and in the middle with the Anabaptists, and I said, come out, just come out. And of course I know they're searching for truth, or else they wouldn't have gone through that spectrum of searching. And of course they're not here, but you don't know where God's going to take you. And if you don't stand on His Word, it's because you don't know His Word. And because you don't know His Word, you don't know Him, and you can't trust Him. And I trust God implicitly. And because of that, another thing has happened. We finally got our settlement finished. We're able now to have the money to finish our project. You know? And so, you know, I just believe that this was a test for me, that if I did not do this well, maybe all these other things would not have fallen into place for me. But because, and I'm really critical of myself too. There's things I could have done better. You know, 2020 is hindsight. But I don't profess to be perfect. I just profess to be a Christian, walking in His perfection and His forgiveness. And so we must also. But what if we call out ourselves to be Christians and nothing's going on in our lives? See, the Bible tells me, it says that if you're a Christian, you're going to be persecuted. Right? You will be mistreated. You will be judged. You will be spoken evil of. And that's not because of the Bible says so. That's because it's what Jesus said. Because as they say of you, they've already said of Him. And if we identify ourselves with Him, well then the natural thing is that, you know what? Being His disciple, we are going to receive the same treatment as Him. The key for us as Christians is not to become reactionary to those things. What is persecution? Let me read you a definition for persecution. Persecution means to pursue with harassing or oppressive treatment for the adherence of faith, to annoy, to drive away, to subjugate, or even exterminate. Are you willing to die for what you believe in? I am. Are you willing to die for a good cause? I am. Are you willing to die to live for Jesus Christ? You see, that's what it means to be a Christian. We no longer live like the world. Our citizenship, and I have to remind us, even myself, my citizenship is not here in New Jersey. I'm not an American. I live in this country. This flesh may identify with that, but my residency is in heaven. My name is written on the streets of gold up there. And Jesus has made a mansion for me to live in. And He has fully furnished it. He has gifts and rewards for me up there. And so my allegiance and the way I conduct myself through my allegiance to Him will always cause conflict in this world. Always. Think about it. The conflict starts with us because on one side, we want to do evil. But on the other side, we know that our Father is really good and gracious and kind. And His DNA now flows in us. And so that spiritual DNA that He has imparted into us, it flows in us, now is causing us to take notice that we no longer live like the rest of the world. As much as we try to. Think about it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't reach out to our neighbors, that we shouldn't be these untouchable Christians and all. If you guys know me, you know I am very approachable. I am very approachable. I just have very strong convictions about my lifestyle and who I am and who I believe in. And that offends people. And I don't care. I'd rather offend you than the one who purchased me. I would rather strive to do the right thing than to give in and do the wrong thing. Because the easy thing in this world is to do the wrong thing. And the things that we do to each other, God calls it wickedness. And He tells us in the Bible that all wickedness on that last day will be destroyed. That our pruning hooks and plowshares will no longer be beaten in to make weapons of war any longer, but they will be sharpened and we will become farmers in God's grand scheme of his farm that He has for us to work in. Evil. Overcoming evil. We must recognize that there is nothing in us that's any good. We must also recognize that our allegiance is not to this world, not to this world system, not to any person in this place, but to Jesus Christ. To live less than that is to bring shame and dishonor to our God. Amen? And how many of us have bought into this thing that you know, life, health, and prosperity and all is all great stuff, and that we should do all these things, but understand that the Bible says, for all who desire to live godly, they will be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. People are going to say things about you that are untrue. Is that going to change the way you conduct your life? People are going to do things to you. They're going to steal your keys and take your car. And I praise God in that no one got hurt. No one. I mean, vehicles can get replaced, but people are an important commodity that we do not carry with the same value as God does. Every soul is important to God. And I praise God for that. And because I feared God more than I feared doing something wrong, I did the right thing, which took more strength to do the right thing than to give in to my impulse to do the wrong thing. And like I said, you know, just like Jesus. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and there he had Satan whispering all kind of things in his ear. You know, oh, if you do this, if you do that, if you make this. And I had the same thing going on, whispering in my ear. And Satan used the word with Jesus. He's going to use the word with you too. That's why it's important. You need to know Him. Jesus said, learn of me. Satan knows the word. And he knows how to twist it. And he knows how to make it sound real good to justify our evil behavior. If I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as intimately as I did, I could easily justify losing it and not have remorse for losing it because I could justify it. But I could not justify it before God Himself because we are to distinguish ourselves above that. We are to conduct ourselves as a royal priesthood. No king, no queen would conduct themselves and get into the gutter with the lowly. They would conduct themselves with the highest esteem and respect, even if that person who was in the gutter did not. Does this make sense? It's on us. And God is telling us that we have to change. For us to change, we need to understand that we need more tools. And those tools that I spoke about last week was we must maintain our zeal. I don't tell you to come to church. You are the church. Don't come here thinking that this is the church. This is not. We are a small microcosm of the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. We come together as a local assembly to worship Jesus Christ and for what He has done. Do not ever think we come to church. We are the church 24/7. I didn't want to correct my wife, but since she's not here, I can do that. Because when I get home, she'll correct me again. You are the church. Too many think that the church is some extraneous element that fits into a building and that's it. But it's not it. What is the church? It's the living testimony of Jesus Christ in our hearts, interacting one with another, irregardless of our differences. Because we have a love that burns in us, we generally care about each other. And that's family. That's what God has created. He's created family. We cannot give in to those impulses. Matthew 5:43-45, the Lord says to us, you have heard that the law of Moses says, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. It comes back to choices, and we've talked about choices. You can choose to act unbecoming, or you can choose to learn a better way. And the better way is a way of the Spirit. And we've heard, and we've been in churches where they said, oh, you have to walk after the Spirit. You have to do this after the Spirit. You have to do that after the Spirit. But what does that mean? When your tires are spinning on the road, and you got cut off, are you going to flip the guy the bird? Are you going to wave to him? Say, pull over, buddy. I got some important things I want to say to you. Or are you going to, God bless you. God bless you. And let it go. The rudiments of being a Christian is understanding who you are in Jesus Christ. You are a king and a priest of royal magnitude. That's who you are. That's who God says you are. And because of that, you must train yourself with my help and others' help how to become that. How to overcome our evil desires to be like the world. I mean, we came out of that. And all that baggage we bring into the kingdom, and God is slowly pulling that junk out. And He does not want us to react to it. He wants us to use the mind that He has given to us through the Word to renew our mind so that our soul will understand what exactly is God's will for us and then put it into practice each and every day. But because we don't have these tools, we don't maintain the zeal for God. We're not patient in our suffering. And we definitely don't pray. Because all we pray about is, give me opportunity to slug it out. Give me opportunity to do this. Let me do that, God. If I had done that, I would not have the opportunities that God has given to us. And being a Christian is fraught with tremendous, tremendous hostility. We have brothers and sisters in other countries that are dying for Jesus Christ. We have brothers and sisters in the Middle East who were once Muslims that are being persecuted and murdered because that faith says that anyone who switches to the Christian faith must die. Talk about tolerance. And we're told that when evil is done unto us, we are not to repay evil for evil, but to bless them. We're not to speak evil of a person. We're to bless that person. Speak blessings on that person. But we have the Jimmy syndrome. You remember that, right? Right, Kevin? What Jimmy syndrome is? My name's Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Let's have a Jesus syndrome. How can I serve you? How can I bless you? You see, if we're so busy looking at ways to bless each other in the family of God, we won't have time to think about how we can steal from brothers and sisters, how to lie to brothers and sisters, how to use brothers and sisters for my benefit. We wouldn't care if they used us. All we care about is that the gospel of Jesus Christ would continue to go forth. And the evil is that we are so selfish and so self-centered, we blind ourselves to the truth that we're this way. And we don't realize how detrimental our testimony is. It's toxic and it's poisonous. And we're afraid to open up our mouths to somebody because, after all, we know we are not living the way God has already told us to live. And we're ashamed of it. Well, I'm here to tell you today, there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. There's no shame in Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power unto salvation. Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the only truth. And He is the only one. He is eternal life embodied, in which we now have in us. He is. I'm almost ready to fly off, man, go prophetic. I'm going to stay true form. There are many dangers that we will face as being a Christian. But I don't want us to focus on the dangers. I want us to focus on the opportunities that God is going to give to us. When Israel crossed over, don't you think they were a little bit afraid going into the promised land? Don't you? Yeah, they were. They were afraid, and I know you're afraid. But know Him who is fearless. Know Him who is true. Know Him that is no evil in Him. There is not an evil thought. There is not an evil word. There is not an evil action in the bones of God. Nothing. You know Him, you become like Him. And the more you know Him, the greater you become like Him, the more fearless you become. And then you, as God has prophesied, will become those lions that He is calling forth in these last days. You are the Joshua generation. And you must have the victory appropriated into your own personal life to make that evil generation out there ashamed of living the way they are. That's the truth. But we're ashamed. We're ashamed. We're afraid. We coddle and all this other stuff. And Jesse has seen me in action. I've had Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. You name it. And I've come on in, boys. You want to make you some coffee, some tea? Let's wrestle. Let's wrestle. I'll read it from your Bible, but you read it from my Bible.
And
yeah, well, we've done that too. It's a wonderful thing to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. And when you're free, there's no way you're going to get bound up. And sin bounds us up. Because why? We do sinful things because that's what we were used to. But now we must put on Jesus Christ. We must live like Jesus Christ. All the power that dwells in Jesus Christ now dwells where?
In me.
In us.
Amen.
All power and authority that was in Jesus Christ dwells with the church, which is His body.
Amen.
Just because He's in heaven, it doesn't mean it stopped. What it means is, in Romans 1, it says that the whole creation is waiting and it's groaning and it's in earnest for the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ to come and rise up in these last days, of which you are that generation. And the first obstacle that you have to conquer is your flesh. We must learn to live in harmony one with another. How many times have we said, well, you know, I don't want to go sit with that one because, you know what, they just don't understand me and they don't like me. And get over it. You are not that important. Get over it. Stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about the other person. Can you see how catty that is? And I've heard it. I've heard it from you guys. And I almost got caught in it saying, oh, yeah, I don't want baloney. Go over, hug them, tell them how much you love them. Because you see, the greatest tool that we have that we don't use comes from love. And that greatest tool is forgiveness. Forgiveness through genuineness. And I'm not saying that we just forgive just to forgive. I'm not saying we do things just to do things. If you can't forgive somebody genuinely from your heart, don't. Get right with God first. Because there's stuff inside you that needs to be corrected first, and only God can correct it. There's nothing in the world, there's nothing that you can have, there's no person that can do, jump on their legs, spin around on their back, you know, grow a tail, whatever. It's not going to change you. You are responsible before God to maintain your zeal, to be patient in your suffering, and to execute faithfulness in prayer. Those are important tools so that we release our love through faithful forgiveness. Jesus was nailed on a cross. The night before, He was beaten mercilessly. He was put a bag over His head, and He was punched out like nobody's business. They ripped His beard out. They stuck 6-inch thorns into His head. And not once did He cry out. They're sitting in my chair. Do you believe that person? Didn't say hi to me this morning, Pastor. Just didn't say, I'm out of this church. Do you believe that they're smoking out there in the parking lot? They call themselves Christians. I'm out of this church. And every illustration I gave you, I've heard in other churches. Not here, but in other churches. And can you see how selfish and petty it is? What's more important? What is more important here? See the evil we do? We're judgmental. It's evil. And Jesus is getting nails stuck into His hands. He's on the cross. They strip Him naked in front of people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are assailing Him with insults. And we get upset when somebody says, you're a Jesus freak? I'll tell you, in my own personal life, I've had guys, because I've stood for the gospel, that when I walk in there and they're telling a dirty joke, they stop. They wait till I pass, and then they continue on. That isn't because they dislike me. It's because they respect me enough not to be vile. But how many of us, tell me that joke, man. Ooh, yeah. It's evil. How many times here? Evil is here. And the evil that we do to each other is despicable, granted. But as Christians, we are not to respond the way the world responds. We are to respond with kindness, goodness. The Word says, be happy for those who are happy. Be sad for those who are sad. In other words, you know, if we have a genuineness, you know, when Dan shares something with me, I know that there's a genuineness in here. Not because I know Dan and we've built a relationship, but our hearts have clicked. And if there's something that's tugged on his heart, I hurt. It's tugging on my heart. And it's the same for all you guys. You guys are important to me that I listen to hear what you're saying. And I'll tell you what. I understand why they call Jesus a man of sorrows. I truly do. He loved far beyond my capacity to love you. And he does love you far beyond that capacity. But it is a genuine love that my heart is open. My son has an attitude because he feels that you know, what we give to the church far exceeds than what we receive. And I tell him, I said, what we receive is so much richer than what we could give. We could. See, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about what my life is about. It's about Jesus. It's about furthering His kingdom. It's about influencing lives. It's about destroying the works of the devil. It's what it's about. Setting people free. Living truth before the people. In a way. And Jesus gave us the greatest illustration when He was on the cross of forgiveness. When He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. My nephew didn't know what he was doing. Although he knew what he was doing, he didn't know that he's part of the plan of God. You don't know what you're doing. But if you know what God says to do and you earnestly desire to walk in that, do it. Because the opportunity is going to come one day when somebody's going to say, you know what, Deb? There's something about you. I don't know what it is, but I've been watching you. And you're not the same person. What's been going on? Bang, opportunity. And that person may have been speaking of bad things about you, but inside is watching your life to see how you'll respond to them, how you'll react to them. There's people watching each and every one of us, whether it's in our families, in school, in our workplaces. How are you conducting yourself? Are you screaming and yelling and cursing at everybody because you didn't get what you wanted, and the neighbors hear about it? Through the closed windows and insulation? Kind of quiet. I told you, being a Christian is not something that we just join a club and we can continue living the way we want to. Being a Christian is going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have. Because what you receive is far more valuable than the junk that you're holding on to. If you let that stuff go, you are able to grab heaven. You're able to release heaven through power of the Spirit of love. And you're able to overcome all obstacles through Jesus Christ. Not through your flesh, not through your own efforts, because let's face it, the more we try to do things on our own, the worse our situation comes. And I'm here to tell you, God's Word works. You got to know Him. You got to know His Word. Because if you don't know what to do, and we've said this in Wednesday night, when all you know to do, everything that you've done, everything you struggled to do in your own circumstances, that ain't the time to keep doing it. That's the time to stand. And stop. It's the time to find out what God says. It's the time to stop doing it in your own strength. It's the time to just worship God and maintain that zeal. It's the time to praise Him. It's the time to pray blessings on your situation. It's time to stop cursing yourself and cursing those who you think is cursing you. It's time to be the church of Jesus Christ. It's time to overcome evil. Amen? Amen. Father, I just rejoice in You, Lord God. I pray for Your church, Lord. I pray, God, that as we release forgiveness, God, as a mighty important tool, God, that our hearts would be open, that the love of Jesus Christ that has flowed to us, God, now will flow from us, God. That it will expand us, Lord God, creating a greater river in us, Lord God, a greater channel in us, Lord God, that we would reach our family members, that we would reach the people that are in our workplace, God, not in a way that would be a matter of fact at all, but through love. Through a spirit of gentleness and humility, Lord God. God, that we would bless them no matter what. That we would find ourselves faithful in discharging prayers, God, to seek Your face, God, to find out what it is Your will is, God. That the gifts would move in there, God. That if You gave us a word of wisdom or a vision, God, and it would touch a person's heart, God. That only that person and You know about, God, then it would be a reality, God. I pray, God, that Your church would arise and shine, God. I pray, God, that Your forgiveness, that You have forgiven us of much, God, that we would not forget about that, God. That God, that You forgave us on the cross, that You poured out Your blood to cleanse us, God, from all unrighteousness. May we not trivialize the cost of the cross, Lord. May we not forget, God, that You paid for us. And that, God, You love every soul dearly. May we go from this day forward, God, examining our lives, getting rid of the junk, conforming to Your will, God, transforming our mind, and becoming little Christ, filled with power from on high, God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You guys are wrestling with stuff, you know, I ask you, come forward. I'll pray with you guys, you know. It's real important that any junk that's in your life, you got to get rid of it. Anything that you're holding on to is not worth holding on to. If you're holding on to Jesus, then I'm not going to ask you to let go. Because I want you to grab a hold of my hand. I need to hold on to Him too. Amen. Amen. Next week we'll finish up.